I'm Ephraim Shapiro. I'm going to be speaking about the relationship of religious involvement and Latino immigrant health. And as I like to joke, what else would a nice Jewish boy talk about besides church-going Latinos? So I'm with New York University School of Medicine, and I'm pleased that our associate dean and founder of the Center for Study of Asian American Health, for which I work, is here, Dr. Mariana Ray. And I also want to acknowledge in the audience Dr. Ana Breda Alonso, my dissertation sponsor, without whom this would not have been possible. And thank you for everybody for coming out this early hour. Okay, so here's some nice vacation pictures I took, but also I think it shows that religion is a force in the lives of Latino immigrants, and that's what really initiated the germ idea for this my research, which led to dissertation, is that it really plays a role in people's lives that we can harness for public health purposes. And that not only their home country, but even more so in the United States, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So we didn't move this up there. So just click. There we go. Okay. So also I'm going to be speaking very fast, so my health is not endangered from our moderator. No, I have a lot to get through, and a lot of numbers, so I apologize for talking faster if I don't get to every number, but feel free to ask me any questions afterwards. So briefly, religion, there's a lot of evidence that religion and health do have a positive relationship, lower mortality, lower morbidity, especially when measured by church attendance. There's a lot of measures, but church attendance is the strongest one, both in terms of well-being and coping, although it's important to note that the relationship is not exclusively positive, but overall it is a positive relationship. My theoretical framework, I come from a sociological perspective, is three parts. One is social capital. Social capital is the idea that being part of a community can bring you resources which has positive impact, including health impacts. And Robert Putnam has said that religious institutions are the largest source of social capital in the United States. Second part, social capital magnified. The idea that it's not just the quantity of social capital, but the mechanisms by which it works, like trust and reciprocity, work especially well in a religious community because you share the same values and norms and reinforcement by your religious leader. So it magnifies not just the quality, but the quantity, but the quality of the social capital. And thirdly is religious capital, the idea that it's not purely a social phenomenon. There's rituals, there's the search for meaning, my body is a temple, there's things about the religion itself above and beyond the social aspect which can have a positive impact on health, and all of this has potential to lead to interventions. Okay, so religion and immigrants. Religion, as I said, it plays an important role. It can be a source of social capital, it can be a source of religious capital. It's also very much intertwined, so Mexican Catholics often see themselves, it's one identity. It's not a Mexican, I'm Catholic, I'm a Mexican Catholic. Their demographics differ, and building upon what Karen said, there can be variations among ethnic groups, and that's going to be an important theme of my talk. Not just are there differences between Latino immigrants and Latino later generations, but even within Latino immigrants, depending on their country, we often lump all Latinos together, but there actually are differences among them. I think we don't pay enough attention to that. So that's going to be an important theme of my talk. Religion, immigrant health. So again, So my research questions are, what are the health needs of new Latino immigrants? Just a brief description of them. What is the relationship between religious involvement measured in the study of church attendance and overall health? What is the relationship between religious involvement and health behaviors? And do country and birth and denomination moderate this relationship? Especially denomination, country birth. So my hypothesis are that there is a positive relationship, that's not surprising to hear, both in terms of health status and health behaviors, and the country of birth does moderate this relationship. And I hypothesize that Mexicans in particular, because they're the dominant group and they have a lot of institutions already, they can have more bridging social capital, bring in connections with other groups and resources. So often we talk about social capital, we focus on the individual. But also there's group resources that I think being part of the dominant group can potentially be helpful with. So my methodology was I analyzed the new immigrant survey, which was conducted in 2003. It's a randomized survey of all newly legalized immigrants, pretty high response rate. I'm one of the few surveys that has health, religion, immigrant, demographic variables. I performed both descriptive and multivariate analysis, including logistic regressions, and to test out whether it varies by country, I had interaction variable to test moderation. My sample were immigrants from Mexico, El Salvador, and Guatemala, the three largest ascending countries. I included both churchgoers and non-churchgoers. I excluded very recent immigrants, the idea being that they had not yet found the church or established a regular church-going pattern, so that would have biased the sample, and a pretty healthy sample size of 1,232, even more weighted. So my variables, the outcome variables, actually I'm going to skip this because we can get through this on the next slide. So here you get the descriptors and the variables at the same time. Really five different variables, outcomes, current health status, of which you see there's a big spread, and about half are less than very good. Physical activity, quarter of the people don't have any activity. Current smoker and alcohol binge drinking, at least 10%, and obesity, 23%. So those are my five outcome variables, and I constructed a model for each of them. The religion variables that in there was current church attendance, prior country church attendance, denomination, which I broke into Catholic, Orthodox, Evangelical, Protestant, other Protestant. For those of you who are wondering, you think it's strange that they're Orthodox 5%, I can explain more later, but that, I think it actually captures beliefs rather than denominational affiliation. And church co-ethnicity, which is a fusion of ethnicity and religion, how many people in your church are from the same country of birth. Country of birth, again, Mexicans are dominant, but still important minorities from Salvador and Guatemala, a spread of people in a culture in terms of length of stay. Most people do not speak English at least very well, so are limited English proficiency, and mainly family visa type. Multivariate, and then I also had the usual control variables of the age, gender, marital status, household size. Multivariate analysis, so again, I developed models for each of these five, performed logistic regression, variables were kept, did multiple imputation of missing data, variables were kept in if either p is less than 0.05 or in a pre-specified theoretical basis. Okay, so this is what came out to be significant in the final model, or in there because of theoretical basis, the ones that are not significant. Church attendance, denomination, country of birth, length of stay, English proficiency, age, gender, I forgot to mention U.S. region, socioeconomic variables, and also, sorry, I forgot to mention that too, health, I put in some health utilization variables. Health insurance, doctor visits, usual source of care, and doctor visits was the only one that was significant. And I'm going to go into more specifics about the key variables in a minute. Okay, so here we see, I have things slightly different than the usual logistic regression where you have a reference, but in mind, when you have three categories, I wanted to compare all three categories to each other. So it's not just compared to a reference group, but it's compared to the other contrast, because you'll see, I think, it's an important part of the story. So we have people who don't go to church at all, have lower odds of being in better health than people who go regularly. People who go occasionally have lower odds of being in better health than people who go regularly. But there's no statistical difference between those who go occasionally and don't go at all. So it seems there's this threshold effect, that it's not till you start going to church regularly that you see a positive impact on health. And I think that's an important finding, which I'll come back to. Home country attendance has some significance, but not as much as current church attendance. Denomination was not significant, although one of the contrasts was. Okay, and country of birth, Salvadorans seem to do the best. And we see what Karen also mentioned, I think she mentioned before, that the longer you're here in the United States, your health generally worsens, the immigrant health paradox. So here's a summary of the health status and the poor health behaviors. I'm not going to go into each model, but basically three of the four health behaviors church attendance was associated with positive impact. Less smoking, less binge drinking, more physical activity, but not with obesity. So not the solution to the obesity problem, or potentially not. And we see threshold effects also, but not in the same direction. So again, health status related, three of the four health behaviors, obesity the only one that's not. Looking at it by country of birth, we do see some variations by country of birth, which I'm not going to go into at length. Because here's, I think, what's interesting is, so not just which country's in better health, but does church going have differential impacts on people's health depending on what country they're from? So we add an interaction term for country of birth, and because there were too many categories, I collapsed church attendance into weekly and less than weekly, because we found that the less than weekly had similar results. So those are the categories. And what I found was that there was actually an interaction. and that Guatemalans did worse than the Mexicans, or Mexicans did better than Guatemalans, but which I had hypothesized, but also that Salvadorans did better than Guatemalans, and that there was no difference in the Salvadorans and Mexicans. So that was surprising to me. Here's just looking at it graphically, and you see the Salvadorans and Mexicans do better, but Guatemalans, there's little dip when you compare the non-regular tenders and regular tenders, but for Guatemalans, there's virtually no difference. So what does this mean? I think this is consistent with my hypothesis. I really couldn't, this is a data set which I couldn't really test out the mechanisms about social capital and religious capital, but I think it is consistent in that you don't see till people start attending regularly, you don't see an impact on health. So I think if it was just social resources, if you have the literature shows at least if you have some social involvement, you get some benefit. But it's, I think, a good assumption to say to people who are going regularly, these are the most religious ones. Not everybody, you could be going to choir every week, but on the whole, it's not till you get to these very religious people who go weekly that we see an impact. So clearly, at least the religious part of it, as well as the social capital, seems to matter, although again, this is just consistent with it. I could not test it directly through this threshold effect. We see the association of 3 to 4. We see, again, a variation. So I think the message here is, when possible, don't lump all Latinos together. There really are important differences between them. The finding was consistent with my hypothesis that dominant ethnic groups do better. Why did Salvadorans also do better? I'm not fully sure. I think there's a couple of things. One is they're the second largest, so maybe there's a threshold. If you have a certain number of people in the United States on which you can draw resources, that's enough. Also, there's more diversity of people who came from El Salvador because of the civil war that was going on. Also, there seems to be some public health programs going on in El Salvador itself, more smoking, anti-smoking programs, so maybe that's spilled over. But again, those are all hypotheses. It's not something I could fully get to, although I do hope to one day. So why do we care about this? So the message is not that people should start going to church so their health will get better. which, yes, some people actually said. Or conversely, some people said, you know, well, churchgoers are in better health already. We should worry about the non-churchgoers because they're the ones who need it. So that's not my message either. I think the takeaway from this is that religion is a force in people's lives, and we should leverage that force. You know, just like the non-churchgoers, there may be other forces, but if you're going to church already, there's a way to capture the people. And we're not doing that for everybody. So I think there's really an opportunity to do more faith-based programs through church to take advantage of this social and religious capital, which play a force in people's lives and can improve health behaviors, improve overall health status for the people already going to church already. And especially when treating these occasional churchgoers. So they are having contact with the church community, but their health is not getting any better than those who don't go at all. So I think there's a chance to reach these people and improve their health that we may not be doing. So here's just a brief list, actually. You have potential interventions through health ministries, direct programs, direct care, patient navigation, through things like community health workers, facilitated enrollment health insurance, referring people to providers, religious leaders themselves taking an active role through their sermons and leading initiatives because people respect them and collaborating with other organizations. Key limitations, again, as I said 3 times, I could not test the causal mechanism, so this is all consistent with it. It's cross-sectional, self-reported. I wish they'd asked some social capital questions, which they didn't. I couldn't tell what people were doing in the congregation, so that would have been useful to know. Are they praying? Are they playing bingo? I'm not sure. This is a survey of just documented immigrants because there is no master list of all undocumented. So to the extent that undocumented might be different than documented, the results might vary. There's some literature showing that self-rated health for Latinos has some validity questions, although it generally varies by length of time in the country. So when you control, as I did, for length of stay, how long? 60 seconds?
Less,
okay. I'm just about at the end. Nobody likes to talk about their limitations anyway, right? So what to do from here, finding out about the underlying mechanism, doing some multi-level modeling, maybe with some congregational data, longitudinal analysis is the second wave of the survey, evaluating specific interventions. So in conclusion, religious involvement is related to health and health behaviors. There are variations we should be sensitive to by religious and ethnic characteristics. We do have opportunities to take advantage of this, but more research is needed. Thank you very much.